The safety of your loved ones has never been more important. That's why Safety Insurance offers the Drive with Safety app, which gives you the ability to monitor driving habits that will help improve the performance of every driver in the family. Plus, save 5% on your auto policy. Ask an independent agent about Safety Insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.
B-Pod Studios.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, California, it's Felger and Mazz live on Radio Row. Presented by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Also brought to you by PropSwap, Win Waste Innovations, Globalization Partners, and Apex Entertainment. Now from Los Angeles, here are Felger and Mazz.
And what I'm about is an old school physical mentality. We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of, because this team will represent this area. We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. We'll play every play like it is a history and a life of its own, with a relentless competitive attitude. We will practice in pads. It's a tough division. It's a tough division in cities full of tough people.
Did he say we'll play every play as if it has a life and a history of its own?
Yep.
Was that his line?
Yeah.
Joe Judge. Welcome back, Joe Judge, to the New England Patriots. That's how we'll begin the show. Felger and Mazz, day two here at Radio Row at the L.A. Convention Center in Los Angeles, California for Super Bowl 56. All right, let's get paid here first. Of course, DraftKings is our presenting sponsor on a daily basis. Our coverage out here this week in Los Angeles is presented by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Our hourly sponsor, the 2 p.m. hour here, is sponsored by PropSwap. And it is a big boy Tuesday, meaning Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire studios. Love it. We fly out to L.A. just to talk to Bedard. Back in Dorchester.
You know, weeks ago, I'd have been able to make a crack about how we had to leave the room so he could get in there. But that doesn't work anymore.
The big boy, Greg Bedard, is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. And we might as well do this now, too, because I can't guarantee we're going to be talking to many guests. All guests on Radio Row-ish are presented by Jock Market. Trade fantasy sports. Make real money every second of every game. Again, that's Jock Market. Greg, how are you?
Good. What's up, guys?
Okay, man. How do you feel about the return of Joe Judge and the state of the Patriots coaching staff?
First of all, I love being in the a-hole chairs. I'm the captain now. I'm in charge.
Yeah. Commander.
So, Joe Judge, interesting. I mean, there were rumors going around that he was going to the Raiders to be the Josh McDaniels special teams coordinator. I don't know what's changed. I think it's interesting and maybe all not that coincidental that all of a sudden on Tuesday this week, after Bill might have been basically off last week, things are starting to happen on the Patriots coaching front. To me, we'll see how this all hashes out, but my initial impression is that this is basically giving Bill sort of, how do we want to say, supervisors. Joe Judge is supervisor on offense. Bill Belichick is supervisor on defense. And then you have Matt Patricia, possibly supervisor in the front office as they transition in a bunch of different places.
How should we feel about this, Greg?
I'm not thrilled with it. No, I'm not. I mean, I don't understand how we've gotten to the point where, you know, you could make the argument that from the front office to his coaching hire so far, that Josh McDaniels is putting together a better staff than the Patriots. I don't understand how we've gotten here. I mean, you know, Brian Flores is still out there. I doubt with the lawsuit that he ends up here, but I guess you can't discount it. He would be a great person to bring in as defensive coordinator, but no, I'm not thrilled about where they are. I think they've gone backwards in the last 3 or 4 years.
So, Greg, one of the things that I find stunning about this, and I say stunning, you know, carefully, because with Bill, you can never find anything to be stunning.
Yep.
But he's at a stage of his career now, isn't he, where he needs more help? Not less? I mean, as he gets old, we can't assume that he can do everything anymore, can we?
Well, I think that in regards to his mind and the way he does things, I think he's, you know, I don't see any decline there. Now, I think Bill has willingly brought on and accepted more help, taken a step back in certain areas in recent years. That's the way it's looked to me. We saw it on the personnel front last year. On the coaching front, he was able to basically turn everything over to Josh McDaniels. That has changed now. So that's why the need for Joe Judge. And, you know, defensively, I think he's tried to be hands-off and gotten involved when he needed to. But I understand what you're talking about, Tony. But to me, Bill's on top of it as far as his mental game. But I just don't know how much he wants to be involved. He's certainly not as involved as he was years ago.
And you just sort of mentioned it. So you said after a week off. So last week was a week off for Belichick and the coaching staff. That was the Senior Bowl again,
yep.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bill was not seen in Mobile, Alabama. I think that, they certainly had their guys there. I'm sure Elliot Wolf was there and Matt Groh and those guys. But, you know, the Patriots got eliminated early in the playoffs. You lose your right-hand man in personnel and Bill's the de facto GM again, and he's not in Mobile. I don't know. Looks a little odd to me.
Greg, that they're looking to bring Joe Judge in as, you say, offensive supervisor, does it necessarily mean they're no longer looking for an actual offensive coordinator and the Bill O'Brien flirtation's over?
I think they're giving themselves options, Jim. That's sort of the way they do things. It's interesting. You know, Saban said what he did last week at the Senior Bowl, I think, about Bill O'Brien and about, I don't think Bill O'Brien's looking to leave. I don't think Belichick had really started on his coaching staff until this week. So I don't know if that's any indication of anything. So,
wow.
Okay, Greg Bedard again, Boston Sports Journal, in for the next 2 hours. We're talking football. We're talking this. We're talking the game. We're talking the Tom Brady power play. That'll be on the table, 617-779-0985. I freaking hate it. I mean, you talk about supervisors. Like, those are not real titles. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like they're playing a title game because, again, who's paying these guys? Patricia still being paid by Detroit. Joe Judge being paid by the Giants. So if they're not coordinators, you don't have to pay them coordinator salary. They're consultants or supervisors or whatever the hell. And so we're just back to this place where it's friends, kids of friends, buddies, or old buddies who are having their contracts paid by other entities so you don't have to pay them. Like, that's the staff. That's the staff. And half of them don't have titles. And is it possible they're going to go into this year, Greg? Is it possible they will not have either a offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator?
Or a general manager or a director of personnel. I mean, if it ended right here, right now, the way it looks right now is Bill is bringing on Judge for offense. He'll help with the defense, Patricia for the front office, because he's going to have basically neophytes in those roles. So he has guys with experience, guys he trusts to execute his program. So that's the way it looks right now today.
And so, Greg, when I asked you earlier about doesn't Bill need more help, I wasn't talking about his level of sharpness. I'm talking about his energy level as a 70-year-old. Like, this part of it is, I find it stunning. And, you know, as you said, a Joe Judge for offense, so that what? He can teach them how to quarterback sneak twice in a row in their own zone down by the end zone? Is that what we're going to do? Like, what is Joe Judge's...
Who's calling the plays? Well,
right. What's his expertise on offense, Greg?
Well, he was a Belichick's gone on his, out of his way in the past to talk about how he was. I think he was a quarterback, and that's the way he came up. Tony, I just took issue with you said that he needs the help.
Yeah,
I put it more as he wants the help. Mm-hmm. So that's where I sort of differentiate from you on that. But Joe Judge is, you know, in the Wickersham book they talked about this. We talked about it at the time. That it was mentioned that if Josh McDaniels left for a job, that Joe Judge, who, by the way, from all accounts internally, was not great as a receivers coach when he split the duties as special teams coordinator,
of course not.
would take over as basically the offensive coordinator. That's where we are.
Unreal.
It is unbelievable. No, really.
I mean,
it is. It's unbelievable to me. They will just pick up any retread and, like, shoehorn him onto their staff. Because, and I understand what you're saying, Greg, about Judge But really, was that anybody's choice to come back and be an offensive coach on this team? Special teams, maybe. That's the other irony. Judge was a good special teams coach when he was here. But they're going to keep the bad one. And so isn't Bill doing what he often says he doesn't want to do? In other words, when you have an offensive line injury, he just wants to plug someone in rather than move two people out of position. Isn't he doing the same kind of thing now?
Yeah, well, I assume Nick Caley is going to be the guy. If it stays the way that it is and O'Brien's not coming and, you know, maybe they add Gase in some role. But right now, today, it looks like it's going to be Nick Caley is really going to be the guy on offense and Patricia is going to help him. That's sort of the Patriots' MO with this.
Well, no. I'm sorry. I got confused. Did you say Patricia or Judge is going to help
him? He meant Judge.
Sorry, Judge. Judge, sorry. My bad.
Okay, right. It's hard to...
But what's the difference?
It's hard to keep straight. Your free, cheap, bobo buddies who are just here because someone else is paying their salary and you like them. I get confused whether it's Blatarski up there and Patricia or this freaking hardo idiot Joe Judge. Again, I'm losing track. And then, you know, there's obviously Groh's kid, Wolf's kid, Lombardi's kid.
Bill's kids.
It's unbelievable. It's the whole staff. Is there one real guy on that whole staff? When I say real, like someone who's not a friend, free, or a friend's kid?
And you're probably losing Ivan Fears, who is probably the best positional coach on the staff.
Jesus!
Yeah, at this stage, I tell you what, I would just go whole hog and bring back Bielma and Schiano, too. What the hell? You might as well just have one big frat party.
What's
over there.
Debbie doing? That's Debbie Belichick, his ex-wife. Where's Linda? Like, Amanda, his daughter? There's an opening at running back, right? You got to bring in somebody. Oh, for Pete's sake. Seriously. I mean, it'd be almost comical if it wasn't so glaring.
Supervisors.
I mean, we're bringing in supervisors. Because
yeah.
We can't call them coordinators because then you'd have to pay them.
We could use a supervisor tonight.
Jesus. All right. So that's how we began again. We're going to get to Tom Brady. Leaving the door ajar for a comeback. How do we feel about that? Any football items you have on the table with the big boy? Again, we're in Los Angeles. He's in Dorchester. Perfect. Your phone's coming your way right after this.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite is celebrating the 75th anniversary of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics with a limited edition commemorative 18-pack, now available at participating stores. So pick up the 75th anniversary 18-pack today and raise the original light beer to Boston Celtics basketball. Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time. From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, it's Felger and Mass on Radio Row, presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, when I took this interview, I had a simple approach. I'm coming to have a conversation. I'm going to tell them what I believe in. I'm going to tell them fundamentally where I see my program going. And if that lines up with their vision and their philosophy, then great. I'm a little bit old school in my philosophy on football. If you want to win games, you have to be a physical team. All right, we're going to look for smart, tough, fundamentally sound players.
There's a question out there I'm sure a lot of people are asking. That's number one, who am I? Maybe I can explain that a little bit better, but instead of saying who am I, by telling you what's relevant in this conversation with being a coach of the New York Giants, what I'm about. And what I'm about is an old school physical mentality. We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of because this team will represent this area. We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. We'll play every play like it is a history and a life of its own with a relentless competitive attitude. We will practice in pads. It's a tough division. It's a tough division in cities full of tough people.
When I look in the camera, I tell people of New York, New Jersey, you know, the fan base area, when I tell them we're going to give you something to be proud of, I'm not asking you to be patient. That's not your job. I'm telling you, we're going to put something on the field you can be proud of. Okay, that's on my name. Okay, you understand that? That's on my name. All right, I'm the leader of this team. I'm in charge of this team. That's on me. I don't point fingers. I don't make excuses. All right, we're going to get this right.
Look, I understand. On the outside world, it's that kind of greatest of all time, worst of all time. It's that emotional roller coaster. Everyone wants to go ahead and it's doomsday, you know, or you're the greatest thing in the world every week, right? That's just the nature of it. You got a week in between games, ain't Major League Baseball, it's not the NBA. It's in a deal where you turn around next day and you just go ahead and you play. So we got to go ahead and understand the truth is on the tape. Just be yourself. And that's all I know how to be. I'm not trying to emulate anyone I've ever worked for. I'm trying to take what I've learned from them and what matches up with my belief structure and do it in my own personality.
Well, this ain't a team that's having fist fights on the sidelines. This ain't some clown show organization or something else, okay? We're going to practice hard on Wednesday, we're going to practice hard on Thursday, we're going to practice hard on Friday. And we're going to play for each other on the field next week. And if we don't play well, every fan has a right to boo my ass out of the stadium. You got that? That don't bother me. I don't think anyone wants to get booed, okay? But the reality is, that's all right.
This guy. New offensive supervisor.
They're going to punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. They're going to give you a wedgie and a swirly. They're going to stuff you in a locker. Yeah.
Freaking.
Now he's middle management for the New England Patriots.
Seriously.
I drive a Dodge Stratus. This is what this guy is.
All right, Greg Bedard's back in our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. We're in Los Angeles, and we're taking your phones here as promised. Liam in Nashville, lead us off.
Hey, how's it going? I think Belichick knows McDaniels is going to stink, so he's just saving his job for midseason.
That makes no sense to me. McDaniels is going to stink, saving his job for midseason.
Yeah, so he's not going to get fired and then come over and take as offensive coordinator of the Patriots.
Moving along, Cam and Taunton. Go ahead, Cam.
Oh, my God, guys. You know what? I don't even care if Judge was coming back as special teams coach. How many more of these guys are they going to bring in here? And why does Kraft continue to allow it? Like, these bobos and these guys who are here to do nothing but bow at Bill's feet and not challenge him, not bring any new ideas. I mean, the coaches, they're going to next year with no coordinators on either side of the ball. They haven't had a defensive coordinator for the last four seasons. Because remember, Flores didn't have the title either the year he was calling the plays. He was still a linebacker's coach. Like, how much longer is Kraft going to allow this?
I mean, it from the outside looks so dysfunctional. I mean, it's one thing when you're winning. Brady's here and you're winning, okay. Then it's like part of his genius, I guess, or whatever. You put up with it or you just ignore it. But when you're 10-8 and getting blown out in the first round of the playoffs and your defense has gotten worse each of the last, whatever, three, 4 years, even the Super Bowl year, it's like, I mean, it's a fair point, Greg. How do you think... Where do you think ownership comes down on this?
I find it laughable that people still bring up that, well, aren't the Krafts going to do anything? How can they like this? It's Bill's show. It's probably written into his contract that he has all say over everything football, especially his assistants. That's normally written into every head coach contract that they have final say on their assistants. And if this is the way Bill wants it, it's the way it's going to be. The Krafts have no say. They can not like it as much as they want. Unless they just want to fire him outright, they really don't have much of a say.
Okay, they don't. Maybe contractually they don't. I mean, do you think their relationship is so, I don't know, I can't come up with the right word. Contentious isn't the right word, but so cut and dried that they can't bring him into the room to say, Bill, can we look at this and can we work, you know, would you work with us on this? You don't think they can exert any influence on that?
I mean, you remember the what was it, the football life when, you know, Kraft came in and was talking to Bill about just the weather
and the
way Bill dismissed him? You think if Robert or Jonathan asked him about, like, yeah, we really want you to look at this coordinator. My God, the look Bill would shoot him, he wouldn't even answer him.
Yeah. Greg, how do you think the rest of the league looks at it? Like, when they hire guys who are, you know, fired from other organizations and they're large – motivation or their greatest motivation is to keep the salaries down. Do you think the rest of the league looks at the Patriots and just says, you know, that's kind of Mickey Mouse?
I don't think really anybody gives it much mind. I don't think they really look at it. And look, the Patriots have continued to be successful. I mean, this season didn't end well, but after a 1 year lull, they were back being competitive. I think people were impressed by that. I think as much as we want to make fun of Joe Judge and his receiver's tenure wasn't great here, he is a good coach. And, you know, Matt Patricia, there were more questions internally about his coaching at the end, specifically that Eagles Super Bowl before he went to Detroit. You know, all these guys have good resumes. They're believed to be good coaches around the league. So I don't see that as much of an issue as, look, Bill can do whatever he wants, but he leaves himself open to, you know, getting ripped, and they better be better on the field. And whether that happens or not, I don't know. It's not for as much for sure anymore.
They weren't particularly well coached last year.
No, they weren't. Not on defense. It was apparent on film.
Special teams.
They weren't. They had a really bad special teams year. They had, you know, I think they've as bad as it's seriously in 20 years, they're as bad as they've been in pre-snap penalties. Sort of, you know, I mean, that's just pre-snap penalties, where delay of games, things of that nature, offense and defense, getting lined up on special teams. I mean, just Mickey Mouse stuff. They've been as bad as that last year as they've been in 20 years. So I don't know how people don't put two and two together. You don't have official coordinators. How many guys on your staff are you not, you know, even paying? How many friends? How many kids of friends? How many kids of you? Like, it has to be looked at. If they were well-coached, it wouldn't be a story. They're not particularly well-coached recently. Wayne in Hartford, your thoughts? You know what? Wayne, hold on 1 second. He wants to talk about Tom Brady, so we'll get to that in 1 second. Dana and Drake. Go ahead, Dana.
Yes, I'm trying to see about, do you think this has anything to do with him with bringing all these assists but not giving him the actual title? Is his way of skirting also around the Rooney Rule, which now applies to assistant coaches, and that ability to hire or even interview minorities by saying, hey, take off, screw you, league, I'll do it in my own way. All right.
That sounds like him. That sounds like Belichick, for sure. I mean, I was just going to say, how hard is it to schedule an interview to satisfy the thing? But then, then it's just another sham interview.
No, Mike, you know what it is. I mean, first of all, Bill's been doing this for years. Second of all, not giving the title, just as Tony said, you save money. You don't have to pay the coordinator fee and, you know, basically the raise for those guys. And it also allows things to be muddled to the outside world as far as, you know, plucking their assistant coaches. So I think it's a win on three different fronts for Belichick.
It's just another one of these things that's like, smartest guy in the room, we're unconventional, we're going to do things that the rest of you aren't doing because we're smarter than you, or whatever. And I again, since Brady left, I don't know if it's worked. Tommy and Lynn. Hi, Tommy.
What's up, boys? All right, this is what I got to say. Joe Judge, I don't like it. I don't like it because he's going to ruin the offense. He's going to ruin the kid. And Mr. Kraft got to say something. And another thing, guys, tonight I'm going to the Bruins game, and I'm going to be sitting at 325 up in the balcony, seats 1 and 2, and I'll be having the podcast signed. So, guys, if you're listening, look out for me. And
okay,
have a nice night, guys.
Okay, you too, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
He'll be chatting, Swayman. Joe Judge and Mac Jones.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Discuss, Greg.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, look, like I said, I think if it stays the way that it does and they don't add anybody else, I think it's Nick Caley is really going to be the guy. Remember, they don't have a quarterback's coach right now because Bo Hardigree left to go with McDaniels.
Oh,
so they don't have a QB coach either.
You don't need one of those.
No, it's not like you have a young quarterback who's learning the league. And why would you want a quarterback?
You don't need coordinators. It's just a title.
But I do think that part of the reason why Bill
they're going to suck. Go ahead.
Why Bill is staying the course and he's not panicking is I think he realizes what he has in Mac Jones as far as, you know, him learning the offense. You know, I don't think he needs to be as coached as much as other people. I think these moves would also lend you to believe that they're just fine with Mac Jones, that they're not bringing in any sort of quarterback who has to be retrained by Nick Caley and Joe Judge or anything like that, you know, from the base level of this offense. So for me, I it'll be interesting, but I think Bill has confidence in it.
Greg, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but did it get worse there after they fired Jason Garrett last year? I mean, I know he took a lot of blame for the Giants' offensive woes, but it feels like to me they did. Like, they get rid of him, and then that offense got even worse. I remember there was a 3rd-and-9 QB sneak that he called at one point.
Yeah, twice!
Maz mentioned that, yeah.
I didn't watch the Giants at all last year, and I do know it was bad. I mean, first of all, to hire Jason Garrett to run your offense is questionable in itself. I mean, all you had to do was look at his entire career. But, yeah, I do not think that it got better after that.
Okay.
You guys are hung up on titles. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Coaching. Yeah, coaching a second-year quarterback. That's overrated. We've got more with Greg Bedard. We'll do a little look ahead to the Super Bowl with him and 3 up, 3 down. And we continue to take your calls at 617-779-0985. First, an update from Big Jim.
Hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials.
gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full-service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required, and yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations, I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.
Fine.
Hooray for Hollywood. That screwy Barry.
It's the week La La Land gets a little more La-La. Felger and Maz are live on Radio Row from Los Angeles. Presented by your New England Honda dealers on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the Cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three up, three down. With Greg Bedard, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Okay, so here's what I thought we'd do. Just give me three players to watch in the Super Bowl, or three guys who you think will have a big impact on the outcome of the game. No quarterbacks, okay? Three guys, no quarterbacks in this game coming up, Rams, Bengals. Greg, go first. Give us all three.
Okay. Mike Hilton, the slot corner for the Bengals, who will be going up against Cooper Kupp. The Bengals' right guard situation, which apparently was a time-sharing situation against the Chiefs, neither of them are very good. Two guys named Jackson Carman and Hakeem Adeniji. Those guys have their work cut out for them against Aaron Donald. And I think that, I think that no quarterbacks, but I'll go with Mixon, the running back, because I think the Bengals will need to have some sort of running game against this tough Rams front to sort of keep the pass rush off Burrow.
I'm going C.J. Uzomah, the tight end for the Bengals. I think Cincinnati's going to need to throw the ball in the middle of the field. The strength of the Rams' pass defense is on the outside. Ramsey's obviously good, but they're good at both corners. And so the wide receiver is going to be a hard get for Burrow. So Uzomah, I think, is a big guy in the game. Odell Beckham Jr., I think they're going to take away Cooper Kupp. I keep saying that. Nobody ever does. So I think Beckham is a guy to watch. To me, he could have a big, big game. And Cincinnati's got to find a way to keep him under control at the very least. And the third one is Logan Wilson, the linebacker for the Bengals. I think Cincinnati's going to have to try to control the middle of the field defensively and take away a lot of that stuff in the middle of the field. And Wilson's a key guy. So, you know, some of the ones like Kupp and guys like that are obvious, so I tried not to pick those. But to me, again, Uzomah, Beckham, and Wilson.
It's Aaron Donald, Kupp, and Perine. That teeny little Darren Sproles running back for the Bengals. If they're going to be successful in this game, he's going to be used, you know, coming out of the backfield. He's like a little weapon for them. I like that, dude.
That's a good one. I'll say this, though. I think he blows. I do. I think he sucks. I know he made
a touchdown last week.
I know he did, but you know what? He screws up a lot. He's the one that had the ball go off his hands for the interception the week before. And so I just think that guy's an accident waiting to happen.
All right.
Sorry, Murray. Yeah.
Thanks, Maz.
Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'll just give you one, Von Miller. And I know that's not, you know, behind the scenes or anything, but I could sense this with him a couple weeks ago at the end of the regular season. He's smelling it. And when he sniffs it, when he gets going, like, I don't need to tell you this. Like, he's a game wrecker. And obviously, since he's going to focus on Donald inside, and, you know, we've seen this before. It used to be Ndamukong Suh. You know, they try and put another, you know, impact guy in there because Donald gets the double teams. That should free up Von Miller. And again, when I feel Von Miller gets this close to it, I've seen it before, Just watch out for Von Miller.
He was basically in Garoppolo's lap the entire fourth quarter in the
exactly.
NFC Championship game.
He was the key to that. He was he got to Brady once, too, didn't he? Didn't he put the ball on the ground with Brady? Was that him?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so it's like when he gets going at this time of year, watch out for Von Miller. All right, so there's your little Super Bowl preview. Bedard mentioned this earlier. I'll just read it to you. Back to Joe Judge coming back to New England and what his role is going to be. And, you know, offensive supervisor, not coordinator, supervisor, because supervisor is sort of like consultant and the Pats don't have to really pay him because he's being still paid off by the Giants. So he's a supervisor. But this does go back. In Seth Wickersham's book, he writes a section about when they almost lost Josh McDaniels to the Indianapolis Colts. So Wickersham writes that replacing McDaniels was tricky for Belichick. If he promoted from within someone like receivers coach Chad O'Shea, Tom Brady might run all over him. By now, Brady knew more about offensive football than most head coaches around the league. And McDaniels had coordinated the offense so well that he had earned trust and autonomy. Belichick told associates he wanted more control over the offense. Belichick wanted more control over the offense is what he means. He considered splitting up the duties between himself and special teams coach Joe Judge, another promising staffer. But if Belichick became the de facto offensive coordinator, would Brady ask to be released, writes Wickersham? Their relationship barely sustained twice weekly quarterback meetings. How could they meet for long hours on a daily basis, especially with Brady wanting more influence over personnel and scheme? So there's a good, like, little, that paragraph is packed with the palace Q in there. Belichick wanted more control over the offense, going back to when McDaniels was flirting with the Colts. But if Belichick took over the offense, could Brady stand it? Could Brady take it? Would he ask to be released because he couldn't work with it? They barely got along when they met for the quarterbacks, never mind the full offense. And Bill wanted to split it between himself and Joe Judge.
Oh, no, that makes me feel so much better about this now that Judge again is there.
So this has been in Bill's mind now for years.
Yes, and also I tie it into him recommending Judge for the Giants job. What, just because Judge is his little do-boy?
Jesus.
Is that the deal? The Judge will, you know, implement every single thing that Bill wants without question? And so that's why he's on the staff?
Did you want to chime in on this, Greg, before I hit the
nope,
top
go
of
ahead.
Hour? Okay, we've got this on the table with Greg Bedard, 617-779-0985. And coming up next, we will get to Tom Brady leaving the door ajar for a return to the National Football League. And someone here amongst us could have told you this was coming. We'll talk about that in our long commercial-free segment next.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Coastal Heritage Bank.
No two homes are alike, and neither are two homeowners. At Coastal Heritage Bank, we offer mortgage products to serve a variety of needs. Whether you're purchasing your first or second home or refinancing, when it comes to getting the right mortgage, we see you and your home as unique, and that makes all the difference. Find your mortgage at CoastalHeritageBank.com. Coastal Heritage Bank. Growing together. Member FDIC, member DIF. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 451459.
Felger and Maz are live on Radio Row from Los Angeles. Presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You always liked Michael Jordan, and you had that poster on your wall, kind of your standard. He came back. Muhammad Ali came back. Mike Tyson came back. So inevitably, some quarterback's going to get hurt or not perform at the level, and it's going to start in July in training camp. It's going to go again in September and probably again in October and November. How are you going to entertain those thoughts, and would you ever consider that?
You know, I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it, and I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never, and you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So I don't know how it feels 6 months from now. It may change. It most likely won't. But, you know, I try to make the best possible decision I can in the moment, which I did this last week. And again, I think it's not looking to, you know, reverse course. I'm definitely not looking to do that. But in the same time, I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life. And again, I love playing. I'm looking forward to doing things other than playing. That's as honest as I can be with you there, Jim.
Then we have this. Tom Brady, I think, totally leaving the door open for a return to football. I'm with Jim Gray last night, not a week after he retires from the game in the first place. Maz, I'll start with your thoughts on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't take long. When's the next documentary? What are we getting? The man out of the arena? Is that what we're getting? And then we'll get the man is back in the
arena?
So
you find this whole thing annoying?
A week later? A week later. So you just announced your retirement, gave your finger to the people in New England in the process, by the way. And then, oh, yeah, I might come back. And you never know. The incessant drama with this guy is great for talk radio. Don't get me wrong. But on some level, I do look at him and say, dude, you are a colossal pain in the ass. You really are a colossal pain in the ass. You're like this little, you know, high school teenager who needs all this attention and this drama every single time. It is, from that standpoint, it's getting a little exhausting.
Murray?
Yeah, so when I saw the quotes pop up last night on Twitter, I was like, ooh, content. But like Maz, I'm annoyed because I hated this with Favre. I hate this with any of these quarterbacks when they become divas, like, I'm done. No, I'm not. Do you want me? I'm still available. Like, do it or don't. And I said that last week. And to Maz's point, too, it's been a week, dude, and you're already doing this. It's kind of annoying.
Greg Bedard joins us from our Town Fair Tire Studios back in Dorchester. I think Greg sniffed this a while ago. Is this Greg sort of an I told you so? Like you never closed the door on Brady even last week, right?
No, I mean I'm flabbergasted that it didn't even last a week without him giving air to the possibility of him coming back. I mean, he's basically Favre Jr. I covered Favre at the end. I covered that whole summer of Favre where it really sort of ratcheted up. Now I'm waiting for, it's too bad David Letterman's not around. Maybe, I think Letterman has a podcast. But when Favre went on Letterman in the middle of that summer and said something's bound to happen, everybody was like, oh crap, here we go.
Here we go.
And yeah. That's going to happen at some point. These guys are so needy. It's just unbelievable. It's as much as you think they have everything, all the money, the Super Bowl titles, the MVPs, all this personal success on and off the field, at the end of the day, they just want to be stroked. They want people to say, oh, you're so great. Please come back. We need you. They want that stuff, and it drives me crazy.
Oh, it's painful. I'd also say it became clear to me in that comment and in the whole interview, I listened to pretty much the whole thing, he didn't want to quit. He didn't want to leave.
No, I don't think he did. Something happened along the way that sort of pushed him out.
Yes. So he's not done. He was sort of influenced to be done, which is different. So he still has the edge. So I don't think he's making this up just for the drama. Oh, believe me, he likes it. He wants it. But I think there's actually something inside of him there that wants to keep playing.
Yeah, and I also think there's an untold story with this Bucks team in that locker room this year. And that's, I was talking to Gasper about this last night. This is where, like, the lack of access is really starting to show up. This pissed me off because it was Levante David that said before that Rams game, right? Like, it was there was turmoil this season.
Yep.
What happened there? Because, like, he doesn't want to go back there. I'm convinced of it. And there's an untold story with that Bucks team this year and Brady and why he's so pissed off.
Okay. He definitely got nudged. He got nudged to the door. There's no question.
Absolutely.
By something or someone.
And the second piece to this is that in the whole interview last night, and again, I listened to it. Was it almost 40 minutes, Stu? I can't remember what exactly the counter was on that. I think it was over 30. Not one question about leaving New England out of his retirement announcement last week.
Shocker.
Which, as we all know, Brady dictates what the questions are. Gray, I think, generally asks pretty much the relevant questions with Brady pretty much every week. And for this, it was too obvious of an omission, too glaring of an omission to say that it was some sort of oversight. And I think that Brady not even addressing the fact that he left you out and the team out last week was further, you know, reinforcing,
definitely,
you know, was confirmation, validation of what he did last week, and he's still at it. It's still like another example of him still, I think, scratching that itch.
Yes, because if Brady were agitated, let's just play along for a second. If he were agitated that somehow that was the perception of it and people are wrong.
Oh, yeah. He'd
Jim, clarify. Make sure you ask me this.
Absolutely.
Make sure you ask me this because I want to address it. I want to make sure that people know it was not done deliberately and you say it in no uncertain terms and make it clear. He wouldn't go anywhere near it. So, to me, that is absolutely its validation.
Okay, he did, you know, the words New England and Patriots did escape his lips. There was a time there, like, I was listening to it, and I felt like for the first 10, 15 minutes, the words didn't even escape his lips. But then he was great, kept playing clips of like past Patriots highlights, of Malcolm Butler interception, the Edelman catch in the Atlanta Super Bowl. You know, I started playing clips back, and, you know, Brady would talk about it. And there was one mention of New England. Jimmy, I think I called Brady 3. Let's just hear that cut. Brady 3 from last
night. You know, you're drafted to a certain team, you know, and you play on that team for a long period of time. And again, 2 years ago, you know, I was able to leave the Patriots after the best two decades of my life in New England. My kids were born there. I grew up. And I decided to take on a different challenge. And that challenge led me down to Tampa. And Tampa provided a really cool football experience for me that was new. And now I'm at another place where I'm looking for other really cool things to do, to challenge me, to help me grow and bring me new experiences in life. And I can, of course, do the same things that I've always done. But at the same time, for me, those aren't as exciting as they once were. And there will be new challenges. And I look forward to those challenges. And I have no doubt, I have a lot of confidence that I can do a lot of things successfully and do them really well. And I'm really excited to see where those, and really that belief really takes me.
So I just want to point that out, because he did, you know, say New England with the best two decades of my life. So that, you know, he did come around to it, but he was never asked about it, and he never addressed leaving it out of the retirement announcement last week.
So the first time I listened to that, I had a certain reaction. Listening to it again, my mind hasn't changed. The way he says it, I was able to leave New England, like he escaped from Alcatraz. Is that the deal? I was able to leave. I got to escape. As opposed to saying, well, you know, I had the chance to play somewhere else, or I was able to leave New England. Finally,
yeah.
I was able to get out. I just didn't like the way he said
what
it.
Okay. What I also heard, Mike, was that, you know, Tampa, like Murray just talked about, for some reason Tampa was not an option for him next year, and it was not appealing for him to go someplace else and start over. That's what I heard, and that's what I thought initially when he retired, that I just thought there's not a good avenue. It would have been much better if he could have returned to Tampa and sort of, but he, whatever reason, he didn't see Tampa as an option, didn't want to start over again.
The same thing in hearing that. There's finality in the way he talks about the time in Tampa. Like, that's over. He's not going back there.
Look, I don't know what sort of problems he had with Arians or other things, but I still contend that if he goes back there, they're in the hunt. They're not a favorite, but they're winning that division. If he's back there, they still have all their good guys on defense. They have enough on offense that with him and that stinking division, they're winning the division hosting a playoff game. That means you're in the divisional round. You win that one, you know, I mean, I still...
No, that's a given. Yeah, he's there. Again, they might not be a favorite, but they'll definitely win that division.
I mean, yeah. The number of people are saying that they won't, you know, they've been for a massive reset, and they're going to go to the bottom. Like, where's that coming from? But look, maybe there were things beyond that with him there that made it a non-starter for him to go back to Tampa. But in terms of being a good team or a contending team, they're, with him, they're in good shape, I think, to be that team. All right, so let's add that to the list. Brady drama ain't going anywhere, folks. And, of course, Joe Judge back to the Patriots in a supervisory role, shall we say. The first hour of the program was brought to you by Prop Swap. Here, Felger and Maz from Super Bowl 56 and the L.A. Convention Center continues after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
The safety of your loved ones has never been more important. That's why Safety Insurance offers the Drive with Safety app, which gives you the ability to monitor driving habits that will help improve the performance of every driver in the family. Plus, save 5% on your auto policy. Ask an independent agent about Safety Insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.